Hare Krishna. It's a great honor to be able to speak before you today on this interesting and very enlightening subject matter. Is anyone here come to Bhaktivedanta Manda for the first time today? Has anyone here come for the first time? We wish you a very warm welcome. I hope you are enjoying your time here. If you have any questions or if you like a tour of the temple, feel free to ask at reception, but please feel at home here. Everybody here is family. There are no friends or acquaintances or business colleagues here. Under this roof, we are all one family serving the Lord together. So this subject that I'd like to discuss with you today comes from a very small book called Perfect Questions, Perfect Answers. Has anyone heard of this book before at all? Has anyone read this book at all? Wonderful. It's an interesting title for a book, isn't it? Because often there are so many worries and concerns that we have in this world. There are so many things happening around us that we can't understand. And often we are looking for answers. But how many times do we stop and actually think, well, what questions should I be asking? Often we are looking for answers, but we don't know what the right questions are. That's why this book is aptly titled Perfect Questions and Perfect Answers. And one chapter from this book is entitled The Perfect Devotee. So we'll speak a little bit about this subject and what it means to be a perfect devotee. First of all, is there anybody in this room who does not want to be happy? Does anyone here want to be miserable? Okay, you've all come to the right place. That's a good start. Well done. So what is it that makes us happy? Is there anybody who's 100% completely happy with their car? Their car is absolutely perfect. It gives them so much happiness. They wouldn't change it for another car. No? Okay, mobile phone. Who's absolutely 100% happy with their mobile phone? One person. You wouldn't change it for any other phone in the world. Well done. We have one happy person here amongst a room of so many. Okay. Why is it there are so many things in this world that we use to make us happy, but they don't give us permanent happiness, complete happiness, unending happiness? Why is that? I used to think that I was happy. When I was young, like many of you, I hope, I used to play with little matchbox cars, little toy cars. I had quite an impressive collection, and I thought that they gave me happiness. But now that I have a real car, do you think I play with the toys anymore? No. So we're changing as people all the time, and the things that make us happy are also changing. But why is it that the things that make us happy keep needing to change? Well, it's simple. Everything that is made of material matter, no matter what it is, has a beginning and an end. Are we like that, though? Do we have a beginning and an end? Actually, no. Krishna explains to us we're the opposite of that. This body might have a beginning and an end. This body might suffer from defects. But actually, the soul is the opposite. In the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Natvivaham jatunasam, natva nevajanadipa, nachayvana bhavishyama, sarve vayamataparam. He's saying to Arjun, never was there a time I did not exist. Nor you, nor all of these kings, nor in the future will any of us cease to be. So the problem comes from the fact that we are trying to enjoy something temporary and limited with us who are eternal and spiritual. So the question of a perfect anything, what to speak of happiness or an object, cannot happen with something material because those limitations are there. So this chapter is entitled The Perfect Devotee. But why in the first place would anybody want to be a devotee? Why do people dedicate so much of their life to pleasing Krishna? Do you think it's a dull process? Do you think there's any happiness in worshipping the Lord? Actually, there's a hint given here. Does anyone know what the word Krishna actually means? Krishna means the one who is all attractive. It means the one who is full of happiness. And not just complete or perfect happiness, but never-ending happiness. So the devotees try to dedicate their lives to him to experience that happiness. Does Krishna need our worship, though? Have you ever seen Krishna saying, oh, I'm so hungry, please give me some food. Or I'm cold, please give me some love or some affection. No, Krishna has everything. It's described actually in the Vaikuntha planets that Krishna has unlimited meals and preparations made for him, and the same dish is never made twice. So much variety is there. The only thing Krishna desires from us is our love. And the practice that we do, standing in front of Shri Radha Gokulananda, well, think you'll agree, don't they look beautiful today? So much effort has gone into their garlands and their dress. All of these things are to entice the Lord's love, to attract the Lord's love. One of our great spiritual acharyas, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, said that don't try to look for God. We may not be qualified to see him, but act your life in such a way that God will want to come and see you. Try to attract him. Even now as we're sitting here, Radha Gokulananda is looking over all of us. Which one is he going to pick out? What are we doing with our lives so he will look at us? Now, why does Krishna want us to be happy? Actually, it's because, and this is a strange thought to wrap our heads around, but he loves us more than we could ever imagine. Even those of us who may not believe in him, may reject him, our love for us, his love for us will never, ever end. And he's continually our well-wisher. And in fact, what Krishna's doing through the Bhagavad Gita is he's trying to convince us that he's our well-wisher and that he's trying to do our best to make us happy. Krishna will never force his love upon us, because if he did, it wouldn't be love. Instead, he's trying to reassure us that if we take shelter of him, don't worry, everything will be okay. He will make all arrangements so that everything in our life will be perfect. What I'd like to do is to read a few short verses from the Bhagavad Gita. And this essentially, it's quite interesting. Throughout most of the ninth chapter, who's read the Bhagavad Gita here at all? The whole Bhagavad Gita? Very good. For those of you that have your hands up, how many of you are applying the principles of Bhagavad Gita in your day-to-day life? Excellent, well done. Bhagavad Gita isn't just a theory book. It's actually something real and very alive. And the more you apply it through your day-to-day life, you'll see that these verses were not just some nice words mentioned for Arjun, but actually they were meant for all of us. So, throughout most of the ninth chapter and some of the 18th chapter, Krishna essentially is begging us, please, please, love me. Please dedicate your life to me. And he makes so many promises and assurances. See what you think. This is Krishna telling us what he will do to those who worship him. This is verse 22 from chapter 9. Anantyas chintyanto mam ye jana parasyapate desam nitya bhukti yuktanam yoga seman vanam aham. But those who always worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, to them I carry what they lack and preserve what they have. Whatever misgivings or whatever limitations we have, Krishna will account for. And whatever spiritual progress we make, he will protect. This is verse 31. It's a very famous verse. I'll just read the English. He quickly becomes righteous and attains lasting peace. O son of Kunti, declare it boldly that my devotee never perishes. These are the promises Krishna is making to us. In fact, he's going out of his way at every step of the Bhagavad Gita to say to Arjun, just surrender unto me. I will take care of everything. He's spending the whole time just assuring us that unlimited happiness is available if we simply surrender to him. I'll read one more verse on this matter. This is a very, very, very famous verse from verse 65. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, and offer your homage unto me. Thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you this because you are my dear friend. How many of us think of Krishna in this way? That he's not just the Supreme Lord, but he's our dearest friend. He's our well-wisher at every step of our life. He's spending his time trying to make sure we're okay, even if we don't give him any attention. And all he's asking for is our love. But so many different promises are made. Now, what does it mean to be a perfect devotee? What does it mean to be somebody who has dedicated their lives to Krishna? Does it mean that you need to shave your head? That you need to grow a shikha like this? Actually, even in your homes, at your job, looking after your family, even there you can be a devotee of Krishna. Krishna consciousness doesn't mean taking anything away from your life, it means adding Krishna to it. Srila Prabhupada would use a very interesting word to describe this process. He would say you need to dovetail your activities in Krishna consciousness. Now, I don't know if anybody does any DIY here, or does any carpentry work, but a dovetail is when you have two pieces of wood, and you cut at the end so they look like teeth, and then you connect them like this. The two pieces of wood are interwoven into each other. This is a dovetail. So it means whatever activities we're performing, we add those to Krishna. So what I'll do is I'll describe it from the Lord's point of view. He gives two verses in verse 18 where he tells us about how to be fully happy and perfect. This is chapter 18, verses 45 and 46. By following his qualities of work, every man can become perfect. Now please hear from me how this can be done. By worship of the Lord, who is the source of all beings and who is all-pervading, a man can attain perfection through performance of his own work. So whatever activities you do, how many of you have a job here? So even while you're at work, that can be done as a meditation to Krishna. What was Arjun's job? Was he an insurance salesman? Was he a car salesman? No. What was Arjun's job? What did he do? He was a warrior. He was a kshatriya. He was a fighter and a king. And he performed that for Krishna's pleasure. So whatever we do with our lives, we can dovetail it. And this is actually perfection. Srila Prabhupada actually defines a perfect devotee very, very simply. It is one who always thinks of Krishna and never forgets him. This is what it means to be perfect. And what I'd like to do is just to end by giving you a short story that will give you some idea of what it means to be perfect, no matter what lifestyle we have or whatever walk of life we come from. So does everybody know who Narad Muni is? Narad Muni is like a transcendental spaceman. He can travel to wherever he likes. He doesn't need a plane, he doesn't need a car, he doesn't even need a passport. If he wants to go to anywhere on earth, he can. If he wants to go to Vaikuntha and see the Supreme Lord, he can. Wherever he wants to travel, he can travel. And what does Narad Muni always carry with him? A veena. Carries a beautiful veena with him. And what does he do with that veena? He sings songs for the Supreme Lord. So Narad Muni is traveling within the earthly planets one day. And he stumbles across a Brahmin. But this Brahmin was very arrogant. He felt that because he was practicing all the principles by the book, every arti, every single scenario you can imagine, every single form of practice he was doing to perfection. And many people would come and say, oh, look at this Brahmin. How wonderful he is. He became very, very arrogant. So while Narad Muni was traveling, he met this Brahmin. And this Brahmin welcomed him with open arms. Oh, Naradji, how wonderful it is to see you. No doubt you have heard of my glory, so you've come to see me. And Narad Muni replied, I'm traveling to Vaikuntha to see my Lord. And the Brahmin said, ah, excellent, very good. This must be the mercy of the Lord that you've come to see me. When you go to Vaikuntha, can you perform one small favor for me? Do one small favor for me. Naradji said, yes, of course. What would you like? Then the Brahmin said, I am sure I will go back to Godhead soon. I'm sure I will see Vishnu soon in this lifetime. But can you please ask Lord Vishnu, when will I come back? I'm sure it's soon. I know it will be soon, but I just want to know when. Just so I can make all arrangements and I can make everything ready before I leave. And Narad Muni said, okay, as you wish. When I see Lord Vishnu, I will ask him. So Narad Muni continued on his travels. And he stumbled across a very, very poor cobbler. Cobbler, someone who makes shoes for a living. And this poor cobbler was sitting outside a very run-down, very old house. And he was making these shoes. And as he was making these shoes, he was chanting the names of Krishna. And he seemed happy, even though he was in such impoverished conditions. And when Narad Muni saw him, he became amazed. He jumped up and said, "Oh, Naradji, it is my good fortune to have seen you today." He gave Narad Muni a place to sit. Whatever little food he had in his house, he offered to him. He managed to find some water for him also, and he made sure Narad Muni was comfortable. And once Naradji was comfortable, he then said to him, "My dear Naradji, what brings you to my lowly house? What good fortune is it of mine that you've come to see me today?" And Narad Muni said, I'm just traveling. I'm going to go see Lord Vishnu." And the cobbler became so happy by hearing this. He said, "Narad Muni, you're so lucky that you can go and see Vishnu whenever you like. I don't even know if I'll ever see Vishnu, what to speak of the end of this or any other lifetime." And he said to Narad Muni, "Can you do one small favor for me when you're there?" He said, "Please ask the Lord, will there ever be a day when I will see him too? I know there's no hope for me. I know I can't perform any practices properly. But please ask the Lord if there's ever a chance that I'll be able to see him." And Narad Muni said, "Yes, I will do." So Narad Muni continued on his travels up into the spiritual planets, and he came to the kingdom of Vaikuntha. And there he met Lord Vishnu. And he sung beautiful songs for Lord Vishnu's pleasure and offered his obeisances to him. And Lord Vishnu, being very pleased by this, asked him, "Naradji, is there anything that I can do for you?" And Narad Muni says, "No, for me, I'm completely content with seeing you, my lord. But as I was traveling here, there were two people, a Brahmin and a poor cobbler. And they asked me if they will ever see you." And Lord Vishnu said, "You go back to the Brahmin and you tell him it will take millions and millions of births until he will see me." Millions of births for a Brahmin who's practicing so well? Very strange. Then Lord Vishnu said, "And to the cobbler, you tell him that he will see me at the end of his lifetime. He will come to me very, very quickly." Narad Muni became very, very confused. He said to Lord Vishnu, "I don't understand. Why is the poor cobbler going to see you so quickly, but for the Brahmin it will take so long?" And Lord Vishnu said, "When they ask you why, they will ask you what I was doing. And you tell them that when you saw me, I was threading an elephant through the eye of a needle. I was threading an elephant through the eye of a needle." Narad Muni became very confused, but he took this instruction and he left. As he came back down to the earthly planets, he met the Brahmin. The Brahmin greeted him with open arms. "Oh, Naradji, so wonderful to see you again. No doubt you must have spoken to Vishnu and you asked him my question. So when will I be going to see him? Is it the end of this lifetime? Should I make preparations now? Of course I know it's going to be soon. But just tell me how soon it is." And Narad Muni said, I'm very sorry, my dear Brahmin, but you will be going to see him after many, many lifetimes." "What? How dare you? There's no way Vishnu will say that. You must be lying. What was Vishnu doing when you saw him?" And Narad Muni replied, "He was threading an elephant through the eye of a needle." And the Brahmin became very, very angry. "What nonsense is this? How can anyone thread an elephant through the eye of a needle? It's impossible. You're not Narad Muni. You're just some imposter, aren't you? You didn't go see Vishnu. Get away from here." And Narad Muni left, very surprised by what the Brahmin did. And as he left, he met the cobbler. And the cobbler once again greeted him so lovingly and so much care. And Naradji said to him, "When I went to see Vishnu, he told me that you will come back to see him at the end of this life." And the cobbler said, "That is very kind of my lord, but whatever he desires, he can keep me here for as long as he wants, but if he desires for me to come back at the end of this life, that is his mercy. But please tell me, Naradji, more important than that, what was my lord doing when you saw him?" And Narad Muni said, "He was threading an elephant through the eye of a needle." And the cobbler became very, very happy. He said, "How wonderful is my lord. There is nothing that is impossible to him." And Narad Muni became very confused. He said, "You believe this? You think this is true?" And the cobbler pointed to a tree. You'll notice around Bhaktivedanta Manor there are these huge oak trees. He said, Naraji, you see these oak trees here? These huge trees that are growing? Where do these trees come from? They come from a tiny little seed. But packed within this little seed is this giant tree. He said, if my Lord can hold this huge giant tree inside this one little seed, why can't he perform something so simple like threading an elephant through the eye of a needle? It was because of the cobbler's faith in what the Lord can do, and because of his taking shelter in him, that Krishna made all arrangements for him to come back at the end of this lifetime. So we kindly urge you and pray that please make the most of this opportunity of this life that you have. Use each day as an opportunity to please the Lord, whatever your life is doing. And in this way, we can truly be happy. Thank you very much. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Does anybody have any questions at all? Okay. Thank you. Hare Krishna.